All right, let's unite our hearts together, please, in a word of prayer. Let's seek the Lord's blessing for our service this evening. Our gracious, eternal, loving Heavenly Father, we again thank Thee for this Thy day. And Lord, again, for the opportunity in the evening time to come aside and to meet around Thy word. Lord, we take occasion to thank Thee for Thy great mercies and blessings toward us. Thank You, Lord, for help already today. And Lord, we bless Thee for the study we enjoyed around Thy word this morning. Thank Thee, Lord, for help given in the open air this afternoon. And O God, for the word as it went forth in song as well as been preached. And we'd ask, Lord, that Thou would be pleased, Lord, to speak. Even, Lord, yet with that still small voice, Thou would draw souls unto Thyself. We pray, Lord, the same blessing for tonight's meeting. And, O God, we pray for all that will listen in and all that will join in with our service, that, Lord, there might be a word in season and there might be a blessing to each and every heart. Praying, Lord, for young and older alike, that, O God, that Thou would draw near. Lord, we think of the children, we think of the young people, and, O God, yet many not saved. And we pray, Lord, that even this time might be a time of consideration of the things of God. And Lord, we pray that the fear of God might grip their heart. And we ask, Lord, that Thou would come, Lord, and move by Thy Spirit. And Lord, that young people would nail their colors to the mast. And they would be saved by God's grace. And they would go through and on with God. Oh, Father, hear our cry. Lord, remember our congregation. Remember each and every home that's represented. And Father, we pray Thy blessing to be upon every family. And we ask, O God, that, Lord, we might know, even, Lord, Thee moving, even in our midst and in our district. And, O God, Thou wilt build Thy church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Bless those that need this special touch tonight. Bless those that mourn this evening. And, Lord, they need Thee. And we pray that Thou would fill the empty chair, and the God of all comfort would indeed be their portion. Father, do remember even up and down our province. Thank the Lord, the word of God isn't bound. Thank the Lord, it is going forth yet. And, O God, it is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Bless our missionary endeavors across the world. Remember, Lord, even our brother Philip and Cherith Air and Perth. Lord, remember them, Lord, and the girls as well. And Lord, we pray Thou would encourage them. Remember our brother Andrew and his wife there, Naomi in Canada. Oh God, we pray that Thou would bless those churches as they again open up. Lord, remember, Lord, that work in Prince George. And Lord, we pray that they might even see, Lord, Thee extending their borders and adding many even into that little fellowship. Oh God, bless our brother Reggie tonight. Encourage him. Thank Thee for him and for his ministry amongst us in past days. And we pray that Thou would keep Thy hand upon him enduring and the family there. And Lord, we pray that he might have his heart's desire of seeing other families gathered into that Port Hope congregation. So Lord, answer our cry, not forgetting our brother Paul and his wife and family there in Calgary. Thank Thee, Lord, for journey of mercies given, and Lord, for helping to settle in. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would bless him, Lord, as he would minister unto the congregation even in these weeks. And so, Lord, we do look to Thee. O God, remember us for good. Bless us even this night. And Lord, draw near. And we pray that we might be conscious that the Lord is with us, and Thou art blessing Thy word as it goes forth. For we ask these things in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Will you turn with us, please, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. I'm going to commence reading the words of verse 18. And it is a time where the Savior is involved in His earthly ministry. Luke 13 then, and the words of verse 18. Then said He, "Unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it." And again He said, Whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. And he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek and to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. He shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, they there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Amen. Just ending a reading at the end of verse 30. And we do know that the Lord will add his own blessing upon the reading of his precious word tonight. Let me welcome you again in the Savior's name. Not only our congregation, but others further afield. And we do thank you for joining in tonight to this, our live service at the evening time. We do encourage you to remember our prayer meeting at 8 o'clock on Tuesday night. Again, we'll be uploaded, and we trust that you will join with us there for that little study of God's Word, and also that you might have a time of prayer in your own home. We remember the children's pieces that are also uploaded on Wednesday night and Friday night, 7 o'clock on the Sabbath day, conducted by our own local missionaries. And then please do remember that next Lord's Day, God willing, will be our senior Bible class at 10:45. This will be the last for the season before the summer recess. And our service is live again at 12:07. And I do trust that you'll be able to join in with us for that as well. We do want to take the opportunity of thanking each one who came out this afternoon for open air. And the Lord was gracious to us, and we have a good time. And the car park was well filled with the cars. And it's good to see our people coming out and others besides. And do pray that the Lord will bless the word as it has gone forth. As we've said, again, next week we endeavour to be back in the church car park, this time at 2:45. 2:45 to about 4:15 or so. And do join us again for that open air meeting. Do also bear in mind that, God willing, all things being equal, our church prayer meeting will return to our church here on the 30th of June. And the announcements have been made this past week by those in authority over us that churches now can open on the 29th. And so, God willing, we'll be open for that Tuesday night following, the 30th of June, to be here in the house of God. So do remember that, do bear that in mind, and we'll give you announcements and time going on concerning the weeks following. And to that end, we have a meeting of the session committee this Wednesday night, even here in the church vicinity. So do please remember that, men. Session at 7 o'clock, the committee at 7:30 here in the church. We've been making arrangements about coming back again into the church building. I trust that is all by way of announcement. Do remember, of course, that the youth can join in with Johnny Smith tonight, 8:30, on the Facebook Live as well. And I trust that you'll remember even those announcements as they've been given, and subject to the Lord's will. I'd like to turn you back to Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. I've entitled the message, words that are found in my text tonight. Are there few saved? Are there few saved? I'm coming to verse 23. Let's just unite our hearts together again as we come to the preaching of God's precious word. Father in heaven, again, we thank thee for thy goodness toward us. Thank you, Lord, for ever setting thy love upon us from eternity past and sending thine only begotten Son to be our Savior. We pray as thee tonight, we have a message, the message of good news to proclaim. And, O God, we pray that men and women, young people might taste and see that the Lord indeed is good. We do commit, Lord, these tentative plans, even concerning coming back into the church. Lord, take away fears. And we pray, Lord, that men and women would have that desire and that longing to be back again. And, Lord, that that would really come upon us. And, oh God, that would move even amongst our congregation in these days. Lord, we would pray, as we even considered this morning, for our elders and for oversight. Lord, thou would continue to give us heavenly wisdom. And, O God, that thou might lead us step by step. And so, Lord, we do commit ourselves just now as we come to this passage. Shut out every distracting thought. Close us in with thyself. Lord, we pray that Christ might have all the preeminence. And thou would fill us with thy Spirit and with power. For we ask these things in our Savior's name. Amen. I wonder, did you ever ask the question, or maybe you heard someone else ask you, do you think there will be more in heaven than there will be in hell? There are the cults, of course, today who go about, and they would try and tell us that they know the exact number that will be in heaven, and the rest of the people will have to be satisfied with earth. John on the Isle of Patmos, while he was there in exile because of the gospel, he was to destroy all such foolish notions by what he pens in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. Let me read it to you. It says, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number. Men and women, from those words we can only suggest and underline to you that God alone knows the number and how many that great multitude will comprise of. For as we look around us and as we compare what we see in this world, then the words of the Savior come forcibly to mind when he said, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. But it will not stop people being curious at how many. And neither will it stop people using such a question to sneer and to make fun at the gospel. But you know, such a question may also suggest that a soul is concerned about that number. I would encourage you to let such a question cause you to ask, will I be part of that great multitude? Will I dwell with Christ in heaven when time shall be no more? I know this, that during these unprecedented days, when congregations had been unable to meet, that hasn't prevented the Lord saving souls or building his church, praise his name. Indeed, I rejoice again in the week that has passed of hearing of another soul restored unto Christ, not from this congregation, but just a few miles away. It was during the Lord's earthly ministry that one was to approach him to ask a remarkable question, we might say, as we find it in verse 23. Are there few that be saved? Literally, that question could be put like this. Those being saved are few. But I want you to note that the Savior in response was to give his reply unto them. He didn't limit his question just to one man, but to the many hearers that had gathered around. And how he answers that question is also remarkable, for he speaks of the last day and of that time when he shall return again to this earth. But his reply emphasizes the need to make sure that you're not too late. And I trust that you're not in danger of being too late, listener, tonight, as we listen to what sinners will be heard to say and do when that final day arrives. I want you to notice, first of all, here the deception. Understand that the Lord is all-knowing. That is one of the attributes of God. We call it in doctrinal or theological terms omniscient. He knows all things. He doesn't need us to tell him about what is happening. He knows all things from the beginning. And the last day, the Savior is able to look down through the corridors of time, and he's able to tell his hearers what will be said and what will be done. And what is clear can be noted from these verses is that many will have been deceived. The deception abroad will be that there's still time to get saved and enter into the kingdom of heaven. Look at verse 24. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Now do remember, this is when the Lord has come back. And the Lord says, there will be many who will seek to enter in. They will realize then, now is the time to get right with God. There will be attempts being made even to address the need of their soul. It will be then that many will recognize that they're lost and hell is about to be their eternal abode for all time. And it's only then that they will seek heaven to escape from hell, from that awful place. But alas, they'll not be able to. How many there are today who have this notion? Now when the Lord Jesus comes back again from glory to this earth, that's still they will have time to get saved. They want to live their life for the devil and for sin now, but come the terrors of a lost eternity when the Lord returns, it will be then that they will seek God's salvation. It will be then that they'll be heard to call upon the Lord. My friend, don't be deceived into thinking that there still will be time to get saved then. For the Scriptures themselves speak against any such notion. The parable of the 10 virgins should be proof enough to you. We read of them in Matthew 25, and we read that 5 of them had no oil in their lamps. They were to come to the door of the marriage supper of the Lamb. They were heard to knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open to us, but they found the door shut. They were to realize when it was too late that the day of opportunity had passed them by and was gone forever. And so therefore, that is why we remind you of 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. Behold, now is the day of, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, God's salvation. It is while God's Spirit is striving with you and convicting you of your sin, that is the day of your opportunity. See also that their deception will be that there's some other way to get into heaven. That is what they imply when they come and when they knock on the door and say, Lord, verse 25, open to us. There were those who heard the message of saving grace during their life on earth who heard that there's only one way to heaven, and that is through Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And yet they rejected him. And they rejected God's salvation. There will be those who sat in gospel meetings who were confronted with the claims of the gospel. They knew that they were sinners. They knew that they needed a Savior. They heard their need of repentance. Look at verse 5 of this chapter. And the Lord himself is saying, when they had heard the news of that great happening in Siloam, when 18 were slain, the Tower of Siloam fell. He said, I tell you, nay, they're not greater sinners, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. They heard they needed to be cleansed from their sins by the precious blood of Christ. And yet on this last day, it finds them seeking to gain entrance by some other way. The way to heaven, men and women, is only by faith through the blood sacrifice. You cast your mind back even to Genesis chapter 4 and you read there about Cain and Abel. And Cain's offering was bloodless. It was not acceptable. And Jesus Christ has said in the words of Hebrews 10, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And I read that verse to you because you will not be acceptable either unless you're depending upon the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was slain on Calvary's tree. And the false religions of this world will teach you that there are many ways to heaven. The Savior and the Scriptures instruct that there's only one way. And that is something that those in hell will recognize, even though they will be deceived in the very caverns of the damned. Think of the rich man in Luke chapter 16. Just turn over a page or two there and you'll find him. And how he sought that one should arise from the dead to go and to warn his brethren. Look at verse 30. He said, "Nay, Father Abram, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." Did you ever hear the excuse been offered? Sure, there's no one who has ever come back from the dead to tell us that there is such a place called hell. The Lord says, even if there was, the sinner still wouldn't be persuaded or convinced. Because you see, that is not the means that God uses to save precious souls. And oh, that preachers today would understand that it's not signs and wonders that people need. It is the Word of God, the Word that they need to hear. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Look at verse 31 of Luke 16. He said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets. What's that? That's the first five books of the Old Testament plus the prophet books. Neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. They have all that they need, in other words, to repent and to be saved. Their deception will be noted in their speech. Look at verse 26. Then shall ye begin to say, here's the Lord, knowing all things, knowing what they're going to say in this great last day. They'll begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. The Lord knows what they will have heard to say, and he rehearses it now to his hearers. Isn't this the same as what some people are deceived by to this day? They think that because they partake of the Lord's Supper, that their name is in the roll book of the church. They eat and drink at the Lord's table. That will be enough for them to gain entrance into heaven. They think that because they have some affiliation with a church in their street, that that will suffice for heaven. I was baptized there. I was confirmed there. I was married at the top of that church. I will be buried there. Men and women, it's all a big deception of the devil. And that's why we warn you about it. Don't be deceived. You see, not only is there deception, but there is a dismissal. The scene before us is of those who seek entrance into heaven, but they cannot. It's too late. The reason is given in these verses. There's the appearance of Christ that is in view. In verse 25, when once the master of the house has risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. He's the master of the house. Remember that time when Mary went to the tomb? On that first Christian Sabbath, she found the stone rolled away, and the grave clothes lying. She knew not where they had laid him. And there's one who came behind her. Whom seekest thou? Supposing him to be the gardener, she asked where they had laid him. It was the resurrection appearance of Christ. He said to her, Mary. She turned around and she said, Rabboni. That's the same word, Master. When he rises up, he speaks of when he is coming back again to this world. When he does so, he shuts the door. The door of gospel opportunity is closed. The door of the day of grace is over. And when He closes a door, no man can open it. And when Christ closes the door of heaven, it will shut in those who are His and for whom He died on that cross. Those who are saved, those who were redeemed by His precious blood, those who repented of their sin, those who are called upon Him for salvation. But you know, it will also shut out those who heard the message but rejected it. Those who were guilty of putting it off. We call it procrastination, putting it off to another time and sending away the day of their opportunity to get right with God. While the appearance of Christ for the believer is a glorious prospect to those that are saved, it holds nothing but terror and fear to the unconverted. I take your way back to Genesis chapter 7 to illustrate. Because in verse 16, it tells us of Noah and his family going into the ark. It says, "And they that went in, male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut them in." The Lord closed the door. They're safe in the ark. That ark is a great picture of Christ, even in its very covering, because it's the word kafar, and it's the word for atonement in the Old Testament. But look at the words of verse 23. "And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark." God shut Noah and his family in. Everyone else was shut out. They who heard the preacher of righteousness come preach about the coming judgment and warn of the wrath of God, yet they rejected it. They're destroyed. Notice the action of Christ here. But while they cry from without, "Lord, open to us," the Lord has heard to disown them. Verse 25, "I know you not from whence ye are." They're not only forever too late, but they are those whom the Lord does not identify as His. They're never one of His people. They may have done many a thing and engaged in some spiritual exercise or activity, but they were never saved. They were never redeemed. They were never washed in His blood by faith. They never knew what it was to be taken from the devil's camp and adopted into the family and fold of God. They were never born again of God's Spirit. Not only are they disowned, but they're denied access. Verse 27, he shall say, "I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity." The Lord says, "I tell you, I know you not. Depart from me." Their entrance is denied. And they are commanded by the Lord, who is in control of all things, to depart from Him. On the way you go. Do you see just how much these people were deceived? And it could be that you are in danger, my friend, of exactly the same denial come that day when time shall be no more and you stand before the judge of all the earth. "Oh, I went to church faithfully. I sat under the gospel faithfully. I was good to my neighbors, even every day and week." And you're depending on other things. The Lord said, "I know you not." His action is one of describing them for what they are. You'll notice there, He does not speak of them as the saints of the Lord. He does not call them the redeemed of the Lord. He does not speak of them as the servants of the Most High. These are titles that we find elsewhere in the Scriptures. But the Savior describes them in verse 27 as the workers of iniquity. They are those who depended on their outward show of religion, but they are found to have never submitted to Christ and His righteousness. How solemn to hear those words from the Savior dismissing them. How terrible to be told on that great day, "I know you not, depart from me." Tell me, dear loved one, sitting in your home tonight, wherever you might be, What are you depending upon tonight for your entrance into heaven if it is not upon Christ and His atoning work, that once-for-all sacrifice that He offered on the cross of Calvary? Then it will not stand the test of time. It will not stand the test when Christ returns again for His own. And you, dear soul, will be that one who will hear these words. And there'll be no second chance to get saved. For notice the assurance that Christ gives at the end of verse 28. And you yourselves thrust out. No confusion. There is the absolute assurance what will happen to those who are unsaved and who were hoping in some other means to get them into heaven. They'll be thrust out. There will be the separation of all separations from the people of God. And you know, it is something that the Lord is found to speak about in other places. Mark, Matthew chapter 8, for example, and the words of verse 12, you just read them with me. It says there that the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Those who expected to be there, those who expected to be included in the marriage supper, will instead be thrust out into outer darkness. My friend, this is a reality. This is a solemn consideration that your heart must certainly attend to. Are there few that be saved, was the question. But the question to your heart this evening must be, are you one who is saved? Are you one who is sure of heaven? There is a dismissal. And you know, there's also the declaration here. We're not left in any doubt over what will take place to the many who seek to enter in when it is too late. That is compounded by the declaration that the Savior makes of their condemnation. Look at verse 28. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That can only be described as the torments and the misery that they shall endure. And that misery that they shall endure will be added to when they're conscious of the place of the redeemed of the Lord. Did you note it in verse 28? When ye shall see. They will be aware of the eternal abode of those who received the Savior by faith. But how great is their condemnation, their thrust out. Darkness and despair. A lost soul for all eternity. Gnashing and wailing in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, with no hope of ever escaping the torments of the caverns of the damned. That, my friend, is a condemnation that will be your eternity if you continue to reject the message of saving grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Savior reminds each one in John chapter 3, he that believeth not is condemned already. Not will be, but already is condemned. That is his declaration regarding the sinner now and concerning this last great day for those who were without God's salvation. He declares there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is a wise man, it's a wise woman or young person who in hearing of such condemnation will do something about it. You see the glorification that the Savior declares. Verse 28, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out, and they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. There's glorification. How different will be for those that are saved. And to you who have rejected the message of the gospel and stand naked and undone before the thrice holy God, before the judge of all the earth on this last great day. How different could it be? Verse 28, you'll notice that the Old Testament saints will be in heaven. He speaks of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He doesn't use the names of the New Testament saints there. He doesn't even use the names of some of the disciples. He speaks of the Old Testament saints. Where you see the Old Testament saints are saved in exactly the same way as I am tonight, or as you can be tonight. And that is by faith in the atoning sacrifice. Abram believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. He looked by faith forward to the sacrifice through the many types and shadows and sacrifices at his time. We by faith look back to the once for all sacrifice. The Old Testament believers are as much a part of the bride of Christ as those in the New Testament. Praise his name, there's only one gospel. But while those whom he speaks of in verse 28 are by and large the Jews, those in verse 29 are from other nations. In other words, the Gentiles. For the gospel is for the whosoever will come. They shall come from the four points of the compass, or as we read about in the book of the Revelation, from every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation, and they shall sit down in the kingdom of God. For dear loved one, whom the Lord saves, he also keeps, and they're certain that one day they shall be glorified. Whom the Lord justifies, he also glorifies. You can be sure tonight, not only that you're saved, but you're also going to be in heaven one day. For whom the Lord saves, he keeps. He loses none of his people. I wonder, will you be there among them? There is an implication in what the Savior declares here. And it is this. You, dear sinner, hearing the word of the gospel, the gospel which is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel which is able to save your soul. You're hearing the word of the gospel again tonight. The implication is, yet there is room. Many have entered in. Many this year, even of loved ones and family members, saved by God's grace, are now among the glorified saints. They're singing that anthem, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." They wouldn't want to be back with us. Many have entered in. Still others, many others are assured that they will too enter into heaven one day and will join them. But still there's room for you. And that is why the Lord says right at the start of my text tonight, or at the start of his response, verse 24, strive to enter in. Lord, are there few that be saved? Strive to enter in. In other words, don't merely be taken up with foolish questions, but fervently agonize. That's what that word strive means. Agonize over the matter now. Be certain that you're saved. Make your election sure that you're in Christ. Make it your chief concern and business, for there still is the wide door open for you, the sinner. There still is time for you to enter in. Salvation is only by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, will you embrace God's offer of mercy even to your soul tonight and be saved? This is the accepted time. This is the day. God's salvation. Will you avail of it? Are there few that be saved? I wonder, will you be mentioned and numbered among the saved tonight? That great multitude of which no man shall number. I trust you will. I can be of help to you. You can contact me, of course. And we pray that God, by his Spirit, would write his word upon your hearts tonight and bring you to that place of repentance. You know, that's what we need to see happening. Not people bending one knee, but people bending both knees upon the unto the Lord and calling for Him in repentance of their sin to save their souls and to wash them in His precious blood. Will you do it? You can meet with the Lord just where you are this evening. I trust you will, for His own glory's sake. Thank you for joining in again with us tonight and for listening. And we pray the Lord will continue His hand upon you even these days. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee again for Thy word. Thank You, Lord, for the solemnity of this text. There are few that be saved. And Lord, of the response that the Savior gave for them, that they should strive to enter in at the straight gate. And oh God, we pray that, Lord, by Thy Spirit, Thou would strive with men and women tonight, that they might agonize over this matter. They might, Lord, make it their business to even have this matter settled once and for all. And Lord, tonight they will be sure, not only that they're saved, but sure that one day they'll be among that great multitude which no man can number. Oh, God, forbid it. Forbid it, Lord, that any in my congregation or under the sound of my word tonight would hear that great dismissal, "I know not you not, depart from me." Father, what fearful words to be heard even on that great and final day, and to be ushered into the lake of fire, and that for all eternity. God forbid it, we pray. And so, Lord, I ask that Thou would speak on when the preacher's voice is silent. Bring souls even unto the foot of the old rugged cross. For we ask these things in our Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen.